So as we've said at other times in this show, these power guys are trapped in a death spiral. And we have a responsibility to stop that train. We have a responsibility to reclaim life for all life, starting with the life in our own bodies and branching out to reach out to our brothers and sisters. There cannot be anything more important than this, and we have to figure out how to do it, how to get to it, how to pencil it in into our very busy lives. Continuing with Alice. In her book, Kindermith's Hung... Oh, no. Forget it. Und Kinderrecht. I so love the challenge of China, but I butcher it, so I shouldn't indulge myself at your expense. In her book, Mistreatment of Children and Children's Rights, Gisela Zenz tells about Steele and Pollock's psychotherapeutic work in Denver with parents who abuse their children. The children are treated along with their parents. The description of these children is useful in helping us to understand the origins of the behavior of the Nazi mass murderers who undoubtedly were beaten as children. Quote, and this is again from Gisela Zenz's Mistreatment of Children and Children's Rights. The children were virtually unable to develop object relationships commensurate with their age. Spontaneous and open reactions directed at the therapist were rare, as was the direct expression of affection or anger. Only a few of them took a direct interest in the therapist as a person. After 6 months of therapy twice weekly, a child was unable to remember the name of the therapist outside of the consulting room. In spite of apparently intense interaction with the therapist and a growing bond between therapist and child, the relationship always changed abruptly at the end of the hour. And when the children left, they gave the impression that their therapist meant nothing to them. The therapists attributed this partly to an adjustment on the child's part to the imminent return to the home environment, and partly to a lack of object constancy, which was also observed when therapy was interrupted by vacation or illness. Almost uniformly, all the children denied the importance of the loss of object, which most of them had experienced repeatedly. Some of the children were gradually able to admit that the separation from the therapist over vacation had affected them, had made them sad and angry. Unquote. And then Alice says, the authors were struck most by the children's inability to feel at ease and to experience pleasure. Some never laughed for months on end, and they entered the consulting room like gloomy little adults whose sadness or depression was only too obvious. When they played games, they seemed to be doing it more for the therapist's sake than for their own enjoyment. Many of the children seemed to be unfamiliar with toys and games, and especially with playing with adults. They were surprised when the therapists took pleasure in the games and had fun playing with the children. By identifying with the therapist, the children were gradually able to experience pleasure in playing. Most of the children saw themselves in an extremely negative light, describing themselves as stupid, as a child no one likes, who can't do anything and is bad. They could never admit to being proud of something they did well. They hesitated to try anything new, were terribly afraid of doing something wrong, and frequently felt ashamed. Several of them seem to have developed scarcely any feeling of self. This can be seen as a reflection of the attitude of the parents who did not regard their child as an autonomous person, but entirely in relation to the gratification of their own needs. And my comment on this, and by the way, this is a perfect illustration, though in an extreme form, of what we were just saying, which is that when children come in a class system, we don't see them. We're too caught in our own dilemma. While the family under class is no doubt a mini totalitarian state, and this one occupying the extreme end of the viciousness spectrum, this state is replicated in the workplace, in the schools, and in the ranking we engage in without a thought as to its origins, in the mindless conditioning we are systematically dissuaded from seeing, i.e., this insidious insinuation of rank throughout our lives, the omnipresent insistence on obedience that destroys spontaneous feeling and silences voice, is in reality, which is never discussed, hidden power manifested